My name is Kay Mahan. I am the Public Relations Manager for Gulf Shores and Orange Beach Tourism in Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, Alabama.
So here it is, November, and you would think it was in the middle of high season, the way there's such a buzz this weekend in events and activities.
Yes, we are very blessed. I think today it got up to 78. I have friends in Minnesota that are in snow clothing, so it's not a bad gig down here.
This is supposedly shoulder season, isn't it?
Yes, this is technically shoulder season. We are very fortunate that we're starting to see an uptick in the shoulder season. Summer, obviously, is our busiest, our peak time, because everybody's out for summer vacation. But our special events, most of our big special events, happen in the shoulder seasons, in the spring and in the fall.
Is that partly logistical to drive visitors when they might not otherwise come?
Partly logistical, yes. Some of our bigger events have been going on, like National Shrimp Festival, which happens in October, has been going on for 40-something years. It just has always been that way. But probably since 2012-ish, the CBB, our office, has really made a focused effort to advertise and promote what happens here in the shoulder seasons to try to grow those, because it's beneficial to our businesses. You know, right. Restaurants don't have to close for the winter. They can stay open through year-round is the goal.
It sounds like year-round you have a semi-major event going on almost every month.
We do. We don't do so much big events in the summer because it's already so busy. You really don't need it. But we're trying to push out spring events, and then fall really is our culinary time. So fall, we have a food and wine event in September. You have National Shrimp Festival in October. You have Hangout Oyster Cook-Off first weekend in November, and then we're going into our second year of the World Food Championships, which happens the second week of November.
And there really is elements that dovetail back to the local economy, industry. Like you and I went to the Oyster Festival, and on one level, it's all about local industry, right?
Yes, very much so. The Hangout Oyster Cook-Off, you know, obviously they feature Gulf oysters, so we want to focus on the seafood of the Gulf of Mexico. But the vendors at that cook-off are, for the vast majority of them, are local restaurants. It's local chefs, local restaurants out there competing in a local event. It's a twofold way of supporting the community. They're out supporting this community event, and the community comes out to support them supporting this community event.
As we saw, they invite oyster people from across the country to compete. So it's the roots and the core is local, but it's kind of neat because we compared today oysters from the East Coast and West Coast right here in the South.
Yeah, Shaul Zislin, who is the gentleman who owns the Hangout and created Oyster Cook-Off, the first few years of its existence, it really was local. It was local chefs, local restaurants, local oysters. And I have been here since 2013, so it's been since 2015 that he really has upped the game. You know, he invited Food Network chefs in, so they do demonstrations. He's reaching out to oyster growers across North America to get them involved and bring them down and really showcase, you know, the beauty of our beach, the beauty of our destination, and just make a really cool, unique experience. One example of what Shoal has done to really up the ante with Oyster Cook-Off is he's created the North American Oyster Showcase, or the North American Oyster Raw Bar, as it was called this year. And he brings in oysters and oyster growers from around North America, and they compete. You know, their oysters are there for people to enjoy, but then they're also done as a blind judging effort, I guess is the panel, and then they determine what's the best oyster in North America. So last year, the winner was Murder Point, which is a local Alabama oyster, and you met Lane Zerlot, who is the man behind the magic at Murder Point, who is so passionate about his oysters. And then we also met the guy from Hog Island, California. It's his first time to Alabama. He came here because he got invited, but then he's going out with our oyster farmers to see what they do, because he's found how fine-tuned our guys are, and he wants to add a component of that to what he does out in California.
That's really cool. Throughout the year, some of the other shoulder season events that you think are really cool?
My favorite's the fall because of food. I'm from the South. I like to eat. Hangout Oyster Cook-Off is my favorite local event. World Food Championships is phenomenal. Last year we had 419 chefs, which would be professional chefs and home cooks, from 48 states and 14 countries.
What's crazy about that, like we were saying, you've got, what, 18,000 residents. It's like a tiny little town, and yet bigger than the sum of the parts.
Yeah, well, it's a fun little fact I like to share with people is we have between 16,000 and 17,000 residents full-time year-round, but we have over 17,000 condo units, beach house rooms, hotel rooms. So we have more places to stay than we have people.
That's pretty rare.
It's pretty amazing. And we're 85% vacation rental, so that's your condos and beach houses, but we're adding more hotels, and that 17,000 does not include campgrounds and RV parks.
Do you have B&Bs and Little Inn?
Actually, we only have two. We have the Romar Beach House, which has been here for quite some time, and then probably about 30 minutes outside of Gulf Shores is a little village called Magnolia Springs that has the Magnolia Springs Bed and Breakfast, and Magnolia Springs is where author Fanny Flagg used to live.
My friend.
Yes, fried green tomatoes and all that. So she was in Magnolia Springs, and little fun fact about Magnolia Springs, the houses on the river there still get their mail delivered by boat.
And Fanny still comes back, right?
I believe so. Yes, she does. And one of her characters in one of her books, in the book, his name was Stick. That's what he's labeled in the book. And I believe her description was that he looks like a praying mantis. And I've met him, and God loving me kind of does. I think the biggest thing we want to get across is we know so many people across the United States have no idea that Alabama has beaches. We also very much know that people don't think of Alabama generally as a place to go on vacation. We're very popular in the Southeast and the Midwest, but more of the Western states just don't know what's here.
Off the radar. Yeah. And those who do know that knew I was coming back down, I was in Mobile, as you know, a few months ago, and they just going on and on about not just the beaches, but the utter pristine beauty and the whiteness of it. Yeah. Just picture postcard beaches, literally.
Yeah, and the cities of Orange Beach and Gulf Shores in the last year and a half implemented a new program called Leave Only Footprints. And the purpose of Leave Only Footprints is to get the trash and the leftover stuff off the beach every day. Because it had gotten to a point that, you know, in the summertime, people come here for a week because your condo and beach house rentals are on a Saturday to Saturday footprint. They'd set up their tent when they got here, and they'd have their chairs and their toys, and they'd leave it there all week because it's easy that way. Well, then sometimes people would leave and not take it with them. And then you have tents and chairs stuck out on the beach.
Wow, just sitting there.
Yeah, just sitting there. And then if you had a storm blow in overnight, then you've got projectile tents. We are also a sea turtle nesting area. And so when you have all that stuff across the beach, mama sea turtle comes ashore, she bumps into your tent, she bumps into your cooler, she bumps into your chair, and she turns around and goes back in the Gulf and lays those eggs in the water, and you've lost what could be a turtle nest.
That's all game change now because you have done public awareness and the whole mission to turn that around.
It has. I mean, just the first year of Leave Only Footprints, our previous record for turtle nest was like 112, 120, and we had 240 the next year. And there's a lot of factors, you know, not all turtles nest every year and all that stuff. But it has made a tremendous difference just on the image of our beaches, because you get up in the morning if you're in a beachfront condo or a beach house and it is nothing but sand and water as far as you can see. Right now, tonight, we're having dinner at a new restaurant here in Orange Beach called Salt at San Rock Cay. It is owned and run by Chef Chris Sherrill, who has been down here since 11 years, I think it is, 10, 11 years. And Chris has a really unique approach to food. He went to Johnson & Wales Culinary School in Charleston, South Carolina on a wild game scholarship. Native, natural, earth to table, whatever you want to call it, is all his gig. So Chris opened Salt about 2 months ago. He focuses heavy on local farms, local cheesemakers, local oyster farmers, like you met Lou Childry today at Shellbanks, and Chris uses Lou's oysters. He's just a tremendous chef with such a vision of sustainability. He is big in this restaurant on using as much of the products they bring in as possible. He just brought a dish over to the table. It's oysters and oyster drills, which are an invasive snail-like creature that can bore a hole into an oyster shell and eat the oyster right out of it, but you can eat them. And so he's got a dish over there, and the oysters are topped with grated cheese rind, because prior to this dish, he brought us a charcuterie tray with local-made cheeses, and then he takes that hard rind that's the outside of the cheese, grates it down, puts it through a food processor, and uses it so that he's reducing the kitchen waste coming out of his restaurant.
Well, let's go meet Chris.
All right. He's a great guy.
talk about that changing landscape in the culinary scene in Gulf Shores.
Interesting concept we've got down here with Alabama coastal cuisine and getting away from the heavy fried seafood baskets and into more of the center of the plate, beautiful focus on the bounty of coastal Alabama. Now, 10 or so years ago, you couldn't come down here and find a beautiful, nice grilled piece of fish that wasn't local, a lot of imported seafood. It actually blew a lot of people's minds that you thought you'd come to the Gulf Coast and everything would be fresh and local, and in fact, there was so much imports. After Hurricane Ivan, a whole new set of chefs came in and changed the landscape with development and increase in knowledge of what was going along here in the Alabama Gulf Coast. The chefs that moved here from Birmingham or Atlanta or things like that were able to do some really cool things because as the real estate market increased, people moved down from other parts of the country and with them brought their palate of willing to try new things. So it was actually very easy to serve beautiful, very fresh local seafood and farm-to-table type concepts. And in the past few years, as things like the World Food Championship have come to Orange Beach, Alabama, many local chefs that are winning awards and James Beard nominations, we're able to really push the envelope and showcase some really great things.
It must be fun for you that you can be playful, you can be experimental, you can do things you would never have dared to do.
That's right. Being experimental is one of the highlights of my day. Being able to showcase what we're passionate about makes me very happy. Having people come in and say, you know what, I didn't know what I was getting into when I came to Alabama. And then I get here and I find this great food and it makes their trip. So I love that.
Take it a step further. I know you, like me, we've traveled around the country and you meet chefs from other parts of the country. And what you're describing in Alabama is also happening in Nebraska, is in eastern Virginia. There's some collective energy, momentum going on.
All right. So I think that a lot of what's going on in the whole culinary world has a lot to do with what you're seeing on the Food Network. The average consumer is more educated, knows more about food than the past. When you have things like Blue Apron, the home delivery food meal services, people are more adventurous than they were 10, 20 years ago. And so it does make our jobs a whole lot easier to put something out there that you wouldn't even see except in big, huge markets like New York City or Atlanta or San Francisco. That's really fun. I love that part of my job.
The other thing that I see, and I know you do too, is that collective rising of the bar of what expectations of the quality of the food, the sustainable.
Yes, sustainability is a big key word in our kitchen. We try not to waste anything, lose anything. We try to get a second use, and sustainability is probably the big key word in restaurant industry these days. Knowing where your produce comes from, knowing where your fish comes from, knowing where your beef comes from. My chef and I are out to the farms picking the row of different produces that we want for our restaurant. You couldn't even fathom doing that because it all came from large farm, in a box, very industrial.
Do you have local farmers markets that you guys go to as chefs?
Yes, we have a lot of local farmers markets, a lot of hop-up things where a group of farmers will get together in a parking lot and sell their wares. But we do have the coastal farmers market in Foley, Alabama that we can go to. We also have Burris's farmers market where it's a co-op and a collaborative that the farmers bring their wares and we can hand-pick.
Your background is wild game. Talk to us about that and how you're able to weave it in mill.
So my background being in wild game, I hunted as a child and harvested my own food, ate everything that we killed. It was really cool because you have a better knowledge. I think it's more so that when you take the life of something or you harvest something personally and you watch it grow, you want to use it and you want to use it to the best of your ability and put your absolute love and passion into cooking it. And so that plays true to anything that we do here in the restaurant. But it also allows me to do dynamic things. Tonight we served you guys an oyster drill that is an invasive species that eats oysters. And nobody's even got them on their radar, and we're harvesting them. We're serving them, and people are liking them. So that's fun for me. And that goes back to the wild game background or the harvesting or foraging for my own foods.
Well, and I think the other dynamic with wild game, it gives you the opportunity to have flavors that you could not get anywhere else. There's no way.
So wild game, yes. One thing that many health conscious people are so in tune to the health benefits of wild game. It's very lean, it's very flavorful, it's very wild, and people love that. I watch so many people now that may not hunt, but they want venison for their freezer to cook at home, and that's really cool.
Hormone-free.
Absolutely. Hormone-free is the second big key word. Sustainability and organic are both very important in our consumers' lives.
Well, thanks for sharing. I'm going to push on, and it was an honor to meet you and have a taste of your food.
Good. Thank you, and I was glad to have you guys here. I hope you enjoyed the coastal Alabama, everything it has to offer. And I am Chef Chris Sherrill here at SALT at San Roque Marina in Orange Beach.
Thanks so much. Kate, thanks for sharing.
You are most welcome. Everybody needs to come see us in Alabama.
Yeah, I can hardly wait to come back.
Sweet home Alabama.
What's the best way to find out more?
You could go to gulfshores.com. If you want to know more about the state of Alabama, you can go to sweethomealabama.com.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Gulf Shores, Alabama. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.